And good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Adopted Standards Task Force. I'm Mike Berry with ONC, and I'd like to thank everyone for being with us today. As a reminder, your feedback is always welcomed, which can be typed in the chat feature to everyone throughout the meeting, or could be made verbally during the public comment period that is scheduled at about 11:50 Eastern Time this morning. So I'm going to begin roll call of our task force members, and when I call your name, please indicate that you are here. Hans Bootendijk. I think Hans is still having audio issues, but we'll come back to him. Steve Eichner.
Present. Good morning, all.
Jeff Danford.
Here.
Raj Kaparti. Tim Durgis.
Present.
John Kilbourne. Hung Lu.
Good morning.
Glenn McDonald. Devin McGraw.
Here.
Elio Oliveira.
Here, good morning.
Vasil Pechev.
Samantha Pitts.
Alexis Snyder.
Good morning.
Bill Sutherland.
Good morning.
Ram Sharam.
Good morning.
Raymond Wee.
Good morning.
Raymond Wee.
Good morning.
Thank you. And Debbie Willis.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much. And now please join me in welcoming Hans and Steve for their opening remarks.
Good morning, all, and thank you for joining us. I hope everybody had a good Labor Day weekend and some time away from the office. We'd like to thank the task force members for all the hard work they've done to this point. And Hans and I and some of the folks from ONC have put together a presentation summarizing all of the work that we've done. We're going to go through that today in preparation for turning over our recommendations to the high-tech task force at the meeting coming up. So we want to make sure we got all of the comments reflected well and want really to make sure we're reflecting the task force's feedback. So glad to share what we've done thus far. Hans? We can still not hear you. Still nothing. Hans can hear us, but he cannot.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
All right. So, sorry about that. A little challenge with Jabra and Plantonix today, but made it. So as well, good morning. I heard Steve and Mike introduce. Also want to thank everybody for the feedback. And today, final stretch to get us over the task force finish line to get the dispositions, recommendations ready to go to high tech. And then next week we will have the discussion with the full high tech to request adoption of the recommendations that we have made. So Steve, I think with that, we are ready to jump in. Shall we start with looking at the agenda? If you can, we already had final dispositions. Probably want to open up the transmittal letter. And that we want to step through. I see that Devin had made some comments this morning. I'm just going through making sure with nobody else. I believe there's a couple of comments from Devin. So what I want to do is ask basically the question whether there's anything left that in the draft that requires a substantive discussion, anything that are edits, typos, small clarifications, we can take care of. But if there are any major points that we need to review, so with that, Steve, I think we want to go to the top probably and work our way, not recommendation by recommendation, but section by section, and see whether anybody has any final comments left. And Devin, I'm not sure, yeah, you're on the line. If there's anything that jumps out from your perspective as we get to the sections and your comments, let us know where you want to stop.
Will do.
All right. So the background.
If anybody, this is Steve, if anybody else has an observation as we're going through, please stop us. We do want to make sure that we're reflecting the task force's perspective in our recommendations.
All right. So background, any further comments? There were no further edits at the moment, but any further comments that somebody would like to make? Background of the charge, what we are aiming to achieve, that's where we're looking at there. So it's a general introduction. In the recommendations, we are providing on the next page more background on what we're trying to achieve, the terminology, and how we went about it. So Devin made a number of different comments. Any particular ones, Devin, that you feel that you need to discuss?
I was going to say, I don't think any of them are substantive. There were just a few places throughout the document where the sentences were super long. And I just tried to break them up a little bit in chunks.
Yep. At times we ran into that last week as we were trying to, we tried to split them up as much as possible, but I'm sure that we didn't achieve all the splitting yet. So if somebody has any left, go for it.
I don't think I changed meaning anywhere. I just was like, it'll be easier for folks to read, I think, if some are shorter. So
great. Yep. That's fantastic. So then we go to the next page, page 6, unless there are any questions on the introduction where we described how we went about it. And here we have effectively all our recommendations individually listed. So the first section around data scope and vocabulary standards, where we have USCDI and the older vocabulary standards that have been used, setting scope and the content. And unless there are any comments that runs, it's a long section that runs all the way to almost there. It feels every time that it's still at one extra page.
Lance, this is Steve. I think the header list of recommendations did not get corrected properly. It doesn't seem to be, it's differentiated a little bit, but that's the title of the section, but it's not really differentiated very much from the remainder, so it may be hard to find.
So maybe from a formatting perspective, adjust the size of the titles a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have one formatting. The next section starts on the bottom of page 12. And that is titled General Data Access Standards. These were predominantly focusing on the Firebase standards to get access to a variety of data in whatever set one is interested, using the APIs or bulk data mechanism to get access, smart, etc. Any further comments in that space? And that runs until page, I'm almost there, until the top of page 14.
And again, this is Steve. The text that we used is for the rationales, is very consistent across the maintain with replacement, phase out with replacement. So we've reused a lot of the text as far as the basis for each rationale. There may be some differences down below in a few cases where there's additional information that may be specific to that particular standard.
Okay, so that gets us to care coordination standards. This is a combination of some of the documents, CDA, Direct, and CPDP, e-prescribing standards that are being used to more specifically exchange information. So that runs until page number 16 at the top. So any notes in that space where we need to pay more attention to.
And the entries are labeled consistent with the ONC Directory of Standards, not necessarily the full name of the standard of itself in regulation.
And you can particularly see that here if you look at the rationale, because you're sitting on that page, the immunization messaging implementation guide. We felt that it was a little bit easier pick up on the keywords from the official name to avoid another addition to the otherwise lengthy sentences. Okay, so that brings us to public health exchange standards. The variety of immunization, lab reporting, case reporting, et cetera, where appropriate, where they're available, or comments about them in public health. And that runs until page number.
And one of the differences or things we did overall with the language with public health, because a lot of that exchange occurs with non-certified systems, we pay particular attention to make a recommendation to ONC that at any point they're looking at changing those standards to do so in strong collaboration with providers, public health, and other stakeholders.
All right. Then on page 18 in the middle is where clinical quality measure reporting standards starts. All the standards related to around QRDA, level one, level two, the variety of errata, different variations of reporting that CMS uses. So that's the section where we have that. And that runs until page number 21, top of the 21 page. Went too far. Because it actually is 19, the bottom of 19. I skipped right past privacy and security standards. So any comments on the quality measures? If not, privacy and security standards, that does run into what I mentioned earlier because I just accidentally skipped that. And that is on page 21 at the top. That's where privacy and security runs. And then that moves into the accessibility standards, two standards in that space to pick up on. And that runs in page 20 to close to the bottom. And the final ones are certification process standards. And again, we'll pick up on Devin's comments, work them in. And that covers the list of recommendations. Anyone that we passed too quickly that you were thinking about that we need to go back to?
So Hans, this is not, this is not a substantive issue, but one of the questions that I did raise on, I think it's page 16 and 17 back in the public health standards, there was some phrasing where I thought it was just a little bit unclear what we were talking about. So this is a very, it's the standard that starts at the bottom of page 16. There's this kind of long explanation and we sort of say, if not incorporating, and I think it was referring to something in the previous sentence, but it wasn't entirely clear what. And then it says this approach, and it's not clear what approach we're talking about since there's a lot packed into that paragraph. So I think those are just two areas where we probably need to add a few more words to be more clear about what we're saying. And unfortunately, my recollection of the dialogue was not sharp enough that I could fill it in.
Yeah, so. That's a great point. We'll look at that. The intent was, and Steve can further clarify as well, that we have lab reporting, which this one is focusing at. But depending on what some of the thoughts are on how to progress case reporting, so that's where the reference to case reporting is coming in. Some of the advances in lab reporting may actually be more appropriately done at that time once aligned in case reporting. But depending on the timing, if it's still needed, there are a newer version of ELR all the way into, there is a new version of lab results interfaces that includes ELR, where some of that is already addressed. So it is a little bit of a balancing between where are we going to go, at what point in time, when are we ready for what? That is really that balancing act between what's the right next thing for ELR to look at.
Right.
So we need to make that more clear. That was the intent.
Yeah, I thought the intent, I could see where it was going, but not precisely enough to know, like, obviously we were asking ONC to consider something if they didn't incorporate ELR, the most current version, like, it just needed something a little bit more. And then this approach, like, which one? There was a lot that was mentioned. So we just need to be a little bit more precise.
Steve, do you have any other thoughts there for this discussion, or do we think that we are sufficiently on the same pace in intent, and we just need to work the words?
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of communications. I don't think there's a conceptual issue.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think I just wanted us, you know, each of these can really, what I love about, even though it gets a little bit repetitive, what I love about the way this report is framed is that you could go to any particular standard and pull it out from the rest of the text and get the full recommendation.
Right.
So, yeah, this is very helpful, I think. A little bit different in that there are three potential viable alternatives that we know about
right
now. And depending on what other circumstances come into play, one or a combination might be appropriate.
Yep.
For example, if the MPRM that is at OMB right now as of Friday, depending on what it contains, the solution might be slightly different. So, okay. Yes.
And then one more thought that I just had, and I it could be that I've missed something, but we, in the very beginning of the report, we talk about how phase out is one of the options.
Yes.
I don't think the phase out entirely. I don't think we have that anywhere. Do we?
I
think it's either phase out with replacement or maintain.
Let's see. I'm going to jump
to a little start. That is correct. We have no phase out entirely.
Correct. Yep. And that in itself is that we needed to define it because that was an option. And then when we get to the slides, we'll summarize that and found that, actually didn't
there
need that.
Any. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, it's still valid.
Yeah. I mean, it's really consistent with some other language in the report where we sort of say it's, you know, that it's important to have a standard, right? You have to have one. So this phase out entirely while was part of the statutory language, but seems would be an option that a group like ours would rarely recommend.
That brings up a question that occurred to me over the weekend, is that the report does not include any of the tables that we've worked on for the slides. Rather than trying to modify the report, I think it might be helpful just to include the presentation formally as an appendix and include a statement in background or somewhere in the introduction that the report is included as an appendix that includes summary tables.
That's a good idea, and we can follow up on that cross-pollinate that.
Right, I raised it here just to get some task force feedback about whether that would be a useful and helpful idea and not to surprise anybody.
And perhaps we want to circle back to that after we go to the slides, because then we can look at which ones we are specifically talking about. Steve, would that help?
Absolutely.
All right. So then there are a couple of appendices. The first one is the roster on page 23, straightforward. Then we have Appendix B, where we have only list the names of the standards and the disposition recommendation that is the short in line with the statutory question. I did have a note around that to just double check. There was one at one point in time that went back and forth a little bit, whether it was the best done as a maintain or phase out based on that. So just want to double check that we are still in sync with the list above. I think we are, but want to double check. And then at the end, there is a appendix C with a glossary of all the acronyms that is used. And it's always interesting that a relatively short document of 25-ish pages can have so many acronyms in there. Mm-hmm. We're definitely an acronym-rich community in this space.
One other quick suggestion, again, occurred to me over the weekend, is looking at the list of standards. I think it would be helpful to introduce an introductory sentence and have a link to the ONC document that's got all the standards listed electronically in case one of the URLs for any of those standards change. It gives a second way to get to it, as well as includes the reference as where we got it from in the first place.
All right, we'll follow up with the team on that. Sounds good. Is there anything else on the main document that we need to address before we jump to the slides that we pulled together to them that would serve as the summary statements? All right. Steve, do you then want to step us through the slides?
My pleasure. Well, what we've done with the slide deck is, rather than going through each particular standard, we've kind of created it as a framework with the summary groups. So the first thing we're going to do is look at going through what our presentation looks like. Again, looking at coming back to the original Cures Act requirement, the charge, membership, the approach we used, how we broke things into groups, and a summary of the dispositions we have identified, so we can kind of look through slides 3, 4, and 5. Again, nothing surprising here. These are the same slides that we used in the earlier presentation, the update presentation to HITECH a few weeks ago. Again, looking at the members of the task force. Next slide. Then looking at the approach, Liz helped us make it a little more graphical, a little more interesting to follow. So laying out the identification of the standards through the development of the draft. Next slide. We added some color coordination to help identify what's the disposition state, maintain or phase out with replacement, phase out with replacement, and phase out entirely, which, as noted earlier, but doesn't really occur later on. So let's go through the next couple of slides. So again, looking at all the standards groups we identified, will speak to the fact that these are not formal groups, but we did this for administrative simplification and to have an organization as we went through our review. Next slide. So we've got a few summary tables that, or summary charts that kind of highlight how things were distributed. And really you can see that there are a few that are maintain, a lot that are phase out with replacement or maintain with replacement, and then none looking at phasing out entirely. Next slide. This breaks it out by the different groups. So you can understand at kind of a glance what the distribution looks like in terms of looking at what's maintained, what's phased out, and looking at consistency in that space. Next slide. Again, this is kind of a template that we've repeated throughout the different groups. So we provide a summary description and kind of a highlight of each group, and then a snapshot of the disposition, again, in a graphic. So group highlights for data scope and vocabulary include USCDI can advance, but it needs to be aligned. Snowman and Lowink should have one version throughout regulation for consistency. There needs to be a resolution to difference or to the way that OMB race and ethnicity standards are specified. It currently refers to document 18 or document 15 as revised, but it's a little unclear as to which revisions actually apply. And looking at vocabulary advancement process is very valuable, enabling folks to move forward between regulatory actions. then we go through and list each standard and its disposition, basically the same chart or the same table that appears in the current report. Next slide. Then looking at general data access or standards, looking at the group, the highlight is recommending maintaining the standard while starting to explore when advancement is appropriate, so we don't get too far ahead with a fire standard that isn't supported in practice. And again, looking at the dispositions for the standards within the group. So again, the next slide is the disposition for the standards in the grouping. Going to the next slide, and we should note that the reference numbers are the same as what's in the table in the report. We did not renumber them 1 through X for each standard group. Looking at care coordination, again, you can see the group highlights and the disposition. I'm gonna give everybody a chance to look at the group highlight and reflect as to whether there's anything else that needs to get mentioned. Might want to change the spacing and description. It looks like it's 0.7 and the group highlights are 0.1 or full one. Might be something to look at throughout just to make sure we got spacing correct. And again, looking at the next slide is the list for the standards within that group and then the disposition recommendation. Looking at the next slide, looking at public health exchange standards. Again, looking at alignment between stakeholders is critical. We probably also want to include laboratory reporting in that sub-bullet list. And looking at, as we discussed a moment ago with Devin, looking at the opportunity for what's going to happen with LRI, and should that be more abstracted, do we think? Because there are multiple choices there, and it's not just a matter of the ELR IV.
And that was the intent of the last couple of words, but space limitations, we may want to expand it just a little bit.
Right, so well, if we change it to laboratory results have opportunities, right? Because it's not just about the ELR IV. It's about laboratory results. Or laboratory report, maybe it's even just laboratory reporting.
And then say with multiple choices.
Yeah, presents opportunities instead of have.
That still looks fairly readable at this.
Yeah, I think that's still 0.7 spaced, but that's okay. Any comments or additional feedback? Looking at the next slide, again, is the list of standards that are included in public health reporting. We did note that immunization reporting, or sorry, not immunization. There's one, or sorry, looking at PDMP, prescription drug management pieces can fit into both care coordination and public health reporting. It's included in care coordination. Looking at the next slide, again, the clinical quality measures. And again, noting that it needs to be updated to be consistent with CMS's quality reporting standards. And looking at the disposition, again, is reflective of the material in the report. And again, the list of relative standards or appropriate standards. Looking at the next slide, looking at privacy security standards, noting that they're well established, and also noting that we discussed the security hash standard and making sure that the recommendations include that SHA-1 is disallowed if it's just maintained. And again, looking at the dispositions. Next slide, again, is just the list of standards. Following on to the next slide, which is accessibility. And again, we've noted that we consulted with Office of Civil Rights to make to ask if there was an opportunity or a need to change anything to align with other OCR efforts. We need a period after that bar.
So we don't have periods after any of them.
Okay.
So it would be consistent with all of the recommendations or the highlights that we have.
No worries. And again, the dispositions are reflective of the task force's analysis and the listing of the accessibility standards. And on to the next slide. We did not identify any group highlight for the certification process standards. They were kind of perfunctory and necessary for certification, but we did not find anything to change about the standards, and they should be maintained as necessary. And again, the listing of the relevant standards on the next slide. On the next slide, we did put together some key takeaways that are not reflected currently in language in the report. The first takeaway was that we found that regulated areas have standards and there's ongoing need for the identification of standards for use, kind of reflecting the idea we don't say it head on. Maybe we could add the point that we found no standard that should be retired without replacement. Recognizing the SFAP process allows for technology advancement, but there may be some risks involved if the new standard is not backwards compatible. Because if the SFAP advancement is not consistent and everybody is not moving up, or everyone who's trading data is not moving to a new standard, and there's limited or no backwards compatibility, that can create some challenges on exchange. That looking at maintaining references to accurate standards is a living project and really needs to be ongoing so that we're monitoring and understanding the interrelationship between standards so that we're not doing it or it's not being done in a haphazard process. Noting that the CURES Act process can result in duplicative work or redundant work because in order to identify a standard that might be retired or replaced, you need to consider what the utility of that standard is, and is there something that might actually be around to replace it? And then once you enter the rulemaking process, you would then need to re-identify whether there were alternatives.
And the timing of that could be months, could be a year. We don't know what that is. So that's part of that question. And maybe the bullet twice below, currently inefficient to just talk. Maybe we can merge that together with that bullet, because it's about the same topic of, is this the most optimum way to validate where we're at and where we should be?
Yeah, as an example, looking at the laboratory results reporting piece, if you were to replace today, you might go one path. If you were to replace it next year, there would be a little more maturity. You might choose to go a different path. And that's where we know there are several that are currently in development, let alone other standards where there may be some relevant content being developed that we're not aware of. And then the next one is a limiter, is a piece for discussion for the task force as to whether we should report out the limit of the review system. Hans, do you want to talk about that a little bit more?
Yeah, I'm trying to understand a little bit better what is the limit of this system. Is it the review system that that was intended here, Steve, or was it a different system?
It's the review system.
And I think that goes back to then that same question on the one above. So we want to probably blend that in, that it's the review process that is the question mark. Are we approaching this most efficiently at the right time? Because depending on when this review is done and when the actual rules are being contemplated, is it too late, too soon, or should it really be together? Because as Steve also indicated, the time that you ask the question, should I phase it out or maintain, is effectively the question, do I have something else that I can replace it with? And if not, then I need to maintain it. So you have to start to get into that conversation that we actually did, but we only tipped our toe into it. It was not a full-blown discussion of exactly this is what we would recommend. So are we essentially going to be retracing some of those steps at the time that the rules process comes around?
And I guess the second piece of it is, with the SBAT process in place, both on the good side, or the availability of the process to enable advancement between regulatory updates as kind of a good thing in terms of being able to modernize, but also the other side of that coin, as mentioned earlier, looking at the potential limits if different vendors adopt an SVAP or a process or a standard, including an SVAP, in a manner inconsistent with other vendors, how does that impact interoperability? And that's, of course, one of the purposes of the standards in the first place. So do we touch on both?
We could. And we then get further away from the original scope, perhaps, because the question then is that that happens not only with ASVAB, it also happens with the regulation itself. As that moves up, you have the same kind of questions, although some of it timing might get closer together, but backwards compatibility remains a challenge no matter when you're going to go up. ASVAB has its variants of challenges as we start to learn, and regulation has its challenges. So it's one of those, it's never going to be perfect, but we need to move forward. So what's the best balance that we have?
And I don't think it's a matter of A or B. I think it's just, it's a matter of acknowledging their choices and the impacts of the choices and what moves forward.
And I think the key point here is that assessing that and understanding that, that is technically out of scope of the charter, yet it's important to understand what is a good recommendation of maintaining or phasing out, because they relate. And I think it's a good example of the challenge you run into if you disconnect the two.
Right. And I think it gets excavated when you look at trading data with technologies that are not part of the certification program.
Right. So any thoughts from others on how to further highlight or clarify this point, or Do others believe that that is not really a concern of this being somewhat removed from the actual timing of when a we can dive deeper into actual recommendations of what a new standard, a replacement standard, would look like? Any other thoughts on that? Should we emphasize this more or less or differently? Or are we okay with this? Not hearing pushback either direction. Steve, I think we will just then clean this up a little bit more. I heard somebody join in. Clem, you're on the mute again. Sorry, we just heard you for a second. Yeah, there you are.
So, I mean, I think we need some simple overarching rules, because these things, you know, we can dig around forever and find additional complexities. You know, I think it's something like standards should be reviewed for new versions every X time, and the new versions should be, in many cases, you've already said the new versions would already be automatically acceptable, and maybe that would be the best rule to have. Because mostly we're talking about versions of the same standard, not one standard replacing another standard.
Yeah, of the latter part is that there is one that jumps out as a potential, and it only would be in part at this point in time. That's ELR case reporting, because there's a little bit of a balancing of what's the best flow. But otherwise, agreed, you're moving, looking at a new standard. And then if, for example, you take the question, we're currently on fire R4, jumping to an R5 or an R4B or a 6, that's a big question.
Yeah.
And that requires a lot of forethought, because that that introduces different complexities than, let's say, going from a QRDA 1 version X to a version Y. They might be close together. We'll find those variances.
Yeah.
So one can, and the SFAP process helps with staging that further. But we've also found that there are newer versions available that are not yet in ASVAB. So ASVAB cannot be the only indicator of we are ready, because it's not yet in ASVAB, maybe next year.
Right, and the other challenge with ASVAB is that it's voluntary, which is a great thing in a lot of ways, except the challenge is when you're actually looking at exchanging data across trading partners, have all the trading partners advance to the current SFAP included process.
Right.
Well, a lot of that's decided by the market, though. You know, I mean, we whatever we say, it doesn't matter. If people don't like it, it won't be adopted.
Yeah, and I think in the public health, there are some good examples, is that in order to move, you need to have everybody on the same page, whether they use certified software or not, to make that happen. In other areas, you have maybe, and I'll just go flip to the other side, you have the usability accessibility standards, WCAG, that's much more internal to a system, so you don't have a lot of dependencies and everything in between. So we're dealing with a spectrum of impacts that, depending on what's happening, it's fine if somebody moves, and in other areas, it's not so great if only one party moves.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And there's not a uniform answer. I mean, you know, if any particular vendor said, hey, let's do a lot of exchange between providers using its system, wants to elevate to an SFAP, this is a product because it benefits. It's effectively internal trading. Great, fantastic. If it impacts other trading partners, they need to be on board as well.
Right. So it sounds like that we are okay with this. We want to perhaps identify, based on Clem's comments, a little bit more of a that it needs to be a flowing process frequently. It is a 5.3.3.3, but that it needs to be an ongoing, and that where we can be more automatic, great. We are doing it for vocabulary. The latest version can always be adopted. Are there perhaps other places one could do that? But we have to balance that with if one moves and the other has to move as well, something has to be more locked in into a agreed to common time frame as opposed to everybody on their own.
That's a good point.
Okay, other comments on this? Any, then I think, Steve, we have two more bullets left at the bottom.
Looking at or maintain phase out appropriate questions. And that kind of reflects back to the process that we kind of identified with the question we early identified that you said that maintaining or phasing out as two choices without modifiers, is that really a sufficient analysis? I think as we discovered through the process, you probably do beyond maintain or phase out because there are few places, well, we didn't identify any places where there was a simple phase out that there's no need for current regulatory reference, that we're not yet in a place where everything might be purely voluntary.
And perhaps the recommendation there is that the refined approach that we took allows for the variety of what phase out may mean, although not likely that we will find many, so far none, that would be an entire phase out. Based on the nature of what we're doing here, a full phase out is not a likely thing. Now, we have seen in the past that based on certain criteria, for example, LRI was fully was phased out for a particular purpose of use. And at this point in time, that's being questioned whether that was an appropriate move or not. So it still is a valid thing to consider. The question is how frequently. So perhaps we want to put a suggestion, not only an open question, is that maintain and phase out should be looked at more discreetly as we have done moving forward, not as just a maintain and a phase out, because the latter will not frequently happen, if at all.
Right. It's, as we found, it's more of a continuum.
Yep. So we probably want to restate it as a statement, not as a question in that direction, based on our learning.
I think if we reflect it as a continuum, again, acknowledging in many ways the SFAP and other processes in the middle, that it's not necessarily purely regulatory inaction that's reliant solely on the regulatory process to establish a standard, but at the same time, there is an evolving standards environment, and there needs to be, at least for now, some regulatory involvement so that there is a floor.
Do we have enough material to make that a little bit more clear, or do we have other comments on this before we can move to the last bullet? I think we are the last one, Steve. It's that situation we ran into.
Yep, the last one is the observation is that the task force could not fully evaluate all standards because there were some, or one in particular, that was not publicly available for review. In other words, there's a fee for accessing the language of the standard, and without having access to the standard, we couldn't really evaluate the standard's contents. That's not suggesting that all standards should be free. That's simply putting a limit in this space that we can't review what we can't see.
Right. Any other takeaways that we want to present to the HITACH committee?
Now, again, these takeaways are not currently reflected in the body of the report. They're included only in the slide deck. Does the task force suggest that we include these as additional text in the body of the report? Should we just include these as the takeaways in the slide deck? And should we include the slide deck as another appendix to the report? I recognize that it does duplicate the listing of standards.
In between suggestion is that the key takeaways that we put that into the document and the summary statistics, but not the rest of the slide deck, because it is all in otherwise in there, but those are the two things or two types of information that are not in the document yet. And therefore we could copy them in there. And then the slide deck is just a select subset of the document that we present on. Would that be a reasonable way so that it's clearly part of the transmittal letter, yet it's also then a good pull out from the for the slides? I'm hearing somebody. I'm not sure whether it is a yes agreed or somebody breaking up.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
No, I think I agree with the approach. I think put the takeaways in the document because the rest of the stuff is already there.
Yep. Similarly with the summary statistics on how many we found, put them up in a summary or in the appendix that people can look at. Unless there's objections to that, we'll do that. So we have that there, and then we can use the graph or this format. Okay, nope. Steve, anything else? I think we got to the end, and we have our marching orders on the slide deck to clean it up. Last cleanups to the document. Anything else that we need to do?
I would agree with you. I think we're ready for any public comments.
Unless there's anything else from the task force that you believe we missed that we still need to address before we pass it to Mike.
I don't have anything. Are there any points that the task force members would like to raise?
I'll take the resounding quiet as a we're good to go.
So for clarity's sake, when do we want to consider the draft locked for task force comment?
End of day today, last comments based on this, and then we finalize and wrap it up. Is that a good time limit? Liz, would that work from your perspective as well? If we give it the rest of the day and then tomorrow morning we have it locked in.
Yeah, that works for me.
All right. I think, Steve, we can pass it to Mike.
So just to clarify, all task force members, please make any final comments on the draft report by close of business or close of day today. And Hans and I will work with Liz and ONC folks through tomorrow and produce the final report as soon as it's available in final form and it's released for the task force. We'll ask Liz and company to send it out to the task force consistent with ONC rules and regulations for that kind of stuff.
Great.
All right. I just wanted to note that the document may be locked currently to task force members, but we'll be sure to unlock it so that you can make any needed edits by the end of today. So we are going to go to public comment. And if you're on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function, which is located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you're on the phone only, press *9 to raise your hand. And once called upon, press *6 to mute and unmute your line. So let's pause to see if we have anyone raise their hand. Not seeing any hands raised, Hans and Steve, so I'll turn it back to you.
Great. All right. Then I think we are, if looking at it, the next steps, we already talked about a couple of those. Final comments, really not substantive, but just if you find a sentence that doesn't run, that we just need to fix, those would be great. Any substantive, we have passed the point for that beyond what we discussed today. And then next step is that Steve and I with the team will finalize that, get it out ready for the high tech next week, where we will present this with the request to accept the recommendations, perhaps with some additions from HITECH members and discussion at that point in time. But that will then formally wrap up this task force. But before next week, I already want to clearly extend my my thanks and to all the task force members for your input, to the team, ONC team, to help pull this together. And as a first time of doing this this type of an activity in accordance with the HITECH or with the QS Act, and get that process going as well. So thank you very much. Steve.
I'd like to echo and emphasize the great work that the task force managed to accomplish in the last few weeks. Since it's began its work, I think we did a lot of good work and will be very useful for HITECH and ONC. And I'm incredibly appreciative of the input of each and every one of you, as well as the support team available through ONC. It's been an absolute pleasure to help move this forward. I am not sure that we actually need to meet next week, given the great work that the task force has done. If Hans agrees, I think we can release the time for next week's meeting. Again, we'll follow up with any necessary email. But I think that's okay. And again, my gratitude and appreciation for all parties involved, presenters, task force members, support staff.
Thank you. All right, then we'll close today.
Do we want to release from next week?
Do we want to just wait and see until tomorrow that we know for sure if anything came back that there is, but that more than likely that tomorrow you will see a cancellation for that meeting?
Yeah, I will amend my suggestion based on whether there's any substantive comment that comes in through end of day. If there are no pieces that we feel we need to discuss with the task force, that, you know, if what we get back are all, you know, grammatical issues, we'll take care of that. But if there's anything of substance, we may have a short meeting next week.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you both.